This is the Stop Time Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Hopkins, and I'm here to engage you in thought-provoking, motivational conversations around practicing the art of living in the moment. I'm a certified life coach, and I'm excited to dig deep and offer insights into embracing who we are and where we are at. So my next guest has been designing costumes for Broadway, regional theater, film and television, dance and opera productions for close to 30 years. He began his Broadway career with the groundbreaking musical Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk, directed by George C. Wolfe. Most recently, Paul is known for his work with both of Lin-Manuel Miranda's Tony Award-winning original Broadway productions of Hamilton and In the Heights. His feature film credits include Harriet for Focus Features, Hamilton for Disney Plus, and the recently released West Side Story directed by Steven Spielberg. TV credits include the HBO original film, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, starring Oprah Winfrey, and both The Wiz Live and Jesus Christ Superstar Live in Concert for NBC. In 2016, he received an Emmy Award for NBC's The Wiz Live, as well as a Tony Award for Hamilton. Other notable honors include two Lucille Lortel Awards, four Helen Hayes Awards, a Princess Grace Foundation Fellowship, and the Princess Grace Statue Award. It is with great pleasure that I'm going to be spending some time today with Paul Tazewell. Paul, welcome.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's wonderful to have you. Thank you for taking the time to be in the moment with me today.
Absolutely.
So I spent my morning immersed in the immense beauty of your work. I mean, I could have been there for days, you know, and just wanted to take a moment and honor you and thank you for your contributions.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's so wonderful.
It's, I don't know if it's easy for you to recognize and, you know, physically, viscerally, how you've impacted. And maybe you don't, because you know what I mean? You're always working, you're putting it out. And I'm sure that you, when you see this and you hear about the awards and you hear me read about you, what comes up for you?
Layers of emotions and connection, and identifying with can intellectually be proud of myself. I mean, I can say, you know, wow, that sounds like a lot of achievements, and I am very proud of that. Now, you know, the question of do I fully sit with that and embrace that? I do for a short period of time, and then I move on to the next thing. And that's just what I've learned to do. That's, you know, how I've learned to cope, I think, you know, with, you know, being an artist and in a lifetime, you know, creating a lifetime of creations, of expression. There's not a lot of time that I dwell in celebrating. You realize that, I think early on it was about making a living. Fortunately, I've been able to marry what I'm passionate about with, you know, my ability to make money from it, you know. And I think that much of my career, you know, at least 20 years of that 30 years that you're talking about was about how do I keep and maintain my lifestyle, you know, and keep engaging with new directors, or, you know, getting on to new projects. And and the bonus was that I was able to explore, delve into a field that I love. You know, I love the world of clothing. I love the world of research and creating new worlds and recreating old worlds, and just the, you know, that engagement with other creative people, other very talented people. You know, you realize, you know, when you're where I am, that life doesn't stop. You know, there are all these great things that might be happening, or these great achievements that are happening, not might be, but, you know, are happening. And, you know, I've learned to hold that alongside of life, you know, and the challenges of life, you know, for most of us right now, you know, we're going through this pandemic, and, you know, you figure out, you know, how am I able to manage both? And where is the celebration, you know, in that? You know, some of the things that are happening for me, close to me, you know, that idea of losing family members, losing people. You know, I experienced that with my husband first in 2018, and just before Christmas, my brother passed away, my younger brother passed away. And, you know, so, you know, where there are these explosive, very amazing things happening in my life, there's also great tragedy happening in me. And as, you know, for myself, I've been challenged with figuring out how to be present in both. That's been an interesting journey, you know.
What works for you? I mean, it's so interesting because in a way, and I get it. I mean, I'm hearing you say that, and you use the word explosive. I mean, it's true. I mean, right. If you look at all that's happening at, you know, to you, meaning in your career, it's a little bit kind of mind blowing, right? Because you're probably so busy doing it that it accumulates because you just stay on the path. I mean, I heard you say that you don't sit for very long to quote unquote embrace it or celebrate. And I even heard a little bit of, almost guilt behind celebrate or fear about, oh, I better not stay here too long. You're nodding your head. Does that land? I'm so curious.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's because there is always, you know, for so many artists, and it's true for me as well, you know, that, you know, you've got that imposter syndrome where it's like, well, you know, and you know, I guess it runs parallel. You're as you know, as good as your last thing. You're as you know, the celebration only lasts for so long until, you know, you're forgotten, or you're, you know, the people overall are on to the next thing. You know, when you are focused on yourself as an artist or as a creative person, you know, what do you do with that? So one of my coping mechanisms is to not lean into the celebration too much. And it too much is in quotation marks, because it is not going to last. So if I give it less importance, then it will matter less when people have moved on, you know, or when the energy has moved on, when the energy has changed. And I focus on something that's new, you know, it's like, okay, great, that's done. I'm, you know, and I've also learned to do that in small ways where, you know, I go from show to show to show. There were times when I was designing, you know, I might have a year of 12 shows, let's say, you know, so you, for every show, you have the process of engaging with the director and the other collaborators, developing, producing, teching, and then opening. You know, that is the birthing process of a production. And it's very exciting. It's always exciting. It's always changing. But for each of those, you celebrate it, and others, you know, are really excited about it. Audiences are really excited about it. It gets reviewed. It might get reviewed really great. Somebody might say something really wonderful about the clothes. But then I've already started to think about my next project. You know, so, you know, I am able to then set that aside. And also part of setting it aside is the, you know, that brain space that, you know, that's been occupied by that production. You know, I dump, or I leave it so that I can allow something else to come in. I have to do that, you know, in order to be able to focus on the next thing. I have to be able to set that other aside so I'm not worried about what didn't happen, you know, all, you know, my own personal shortcomings, you know, where I felt like, oh, this could have been better if. That's time wasted worrying about that. It's done, it's open, and I now need to focus on the next thing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's so interesting. I am so curious about what I call the places where there are spaces, right? And, you know, we think of it in art as negative space, right? If the juxtaposition of color, light, I mean, right? So that's where we realize something new, right? That's where, if we're able to reflect on it, we can then see things maybe differently or bring out something different. I'm so curious to know, like, what comes up for you in those spaces? I mean, although they may be brief.
Where I'm, I've been using the word expand a lot lately. You know, I've had the fortune of working on so many different kinds of theater and film, but you know, I've had so many opportunities to do what I do at a very high level. With those achievements, you know, I feel really great about them, but it's on me to figure out what is that next challenge going to be. And by, you know, pushing myself outside of my comfort zone so that I can expand creatively, but I also have to be willing to say yes to that next, you know, that next offer, that next possibility. You know, to have done Hamilton, to have designed the costumes for Hamilton and go through everything that has given back to me and to, you know, so many other people, you know, it's really hard to top that. And therefore, I don't want to look to another production to provide that. You know, it needs to be, for me, something different so that, you know, I can express in a different way. So I can push myself to express in a bigger way.
I don't know if this will be easy or hard. I'm so curious. What would you consider to be your biggest failure?
Failure. You know, there are productions where I was disappointed with because it didn't provide the opportunity that I thought it was going to provide. It might be because the writing of the piece didn't shift towards the direction that I was hoping that it would, or there wasn't enough money in the budget to be able to achieve what I was, you know, and support what I was hoping that the design might be. So my idea needed to be compromised in order to achieve that. And then, you know, with each of those, my engagement with that piece can shift. You know, it might, you know, I might pull away because I can see in front of me, you know, because I, you know, with enough experience, I can say, okay, well, this is not going to provide the artistic expression at the level that I was hoping for. So I'm going to pull back on this. Or, you know, when it's been good, when it's been a positive experience, I've been able to find some other engagement with the piece. With each of those, though, I have to say, you know, they've been learning experiences. I mean, I think that if I can, you know, take away something, probably the most important, you know, where it tells me something about myself, you know, where I can say, you know what, the next time this kind of project comes along, that, you know, maybe you need to think hard about the questions that you ask before you say yes. You know, it's all of those, you know, those times where I've said yes too quickly. And some of that was because I needed the job, sure. You know, or I felt like I needed the job. And the, you know, the fear of not having work or not getting work in the future fueled the yes. That is not necessarily, you know, that's probably not the best way of making that decision.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a distorted relationship with the word failure, but I, you know, I think maybe I just try to avoid it. You know, it's like.
Yeah. It sounds like, if I'm hearing you correctly, that you said you pull back when your expectations aren't met. So you go in kind of wholeheartedly hoping that it's going to, you know, either A, I need the job, or B, this could be good. And then it sounds like, if I heard you correctly, that you said, but then when I realized that's not the case, I pull back when my expectations are not met and then my engagement is less. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And that, I mean, that's what happens. Now, what happens right after that, you know, after you pull back, then, or for me, I think that then becomes the question, you know, of, you know, within myself, do I find a way to reengage? I think that's, you know, that you know, could be huge.
Yeah.
Because it's on different terms then. Mm-hmm. It is potentially with more clarity.
Mm.
You know, that process of saying yes for creative people, for me, definitely, it's charged with, you know, it could be about guilt, you know, a lot of shoulds.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the process of re-engaging, however long that takes, and for whatever reason, it's on my terms.
Yeah.
And so that makes it a positive.
Yeah.
As opposed to because someone wants me to, and that feels good to be wanted. And so I'm going to say yes, because it shows that, you know, I'm just honoring the want, and not that, you know, I'm not honoring myself and how I feel about the work.
Mm. Yeah. That's a really brilliant distinction, right? Because when it comes to engagement, especially discretional engagement, which is what you're talking about there, right? When everything's not perfect and you know you're still going to do the gig, whatever it is, you know, you signed up for it, chances are you're not going to quit, right? That's not who you are. So you have these choices, right? You have the choice of disengaging, which is actually in the end more difficult energetically. Yeah. To participate in the same thing that you were going to do anyways, with any kind of negative energy taking away from what could be used and what is necessary when things aren't ideal, to move forward through it and then learn the lesson from.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I really believe that the way we do anything, one thing is the way we do everything. I could ask you, where else in your life, aside from your career, do you pull back when your expectations aren't what you hoped they would be?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do I see it in other places in my life? Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm sure there's a lot there.
For sure. I listened this morning over a coffee to your 2018 commencement speech.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So it was your alma mater, right? North Carolina School of the Arts.
That's right.
What was that experience like for you?
My school experience, or
no? You're giving the speech.
It was amazing. It was my husband Michael was, you know, he was my in-house editor and cheerleader and coach, and you know, so. He helped me to format, you know, what I was getting ready to say or what I did say. So when I think about that, very, very dear for me. Having the opportunity, being asked to give back in that way was beautiful, because that institution, you know, talk about providing space, it provided space for me to, and support for me to mature, you know, to grow up, to transition from being a teenager to being, you know, in my 20s, and going from, you know, wanting to be a performer to really embracing being a designer, and therefore setting me onto the path of, you know, of everything that I've done for the last almost 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I spiritually feel I owe the energy of the institution. Now that is made up of many different people, many different players, and all of those people that were in school at that time, at all the, you know, in all the different years, and what that institution was about then. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think that it is about, you know, much that is similar, but much that is different now. But with, you know, what I spoke of in a very heartfelt way was, you know, everything that I was taught and everything that I learned up to that point and how I relate to what I do. And also how important it is to nurture those that come after me, you know, that are younger than me and that are trying to figure out and are going through the same struggles that I did, you know, and give them some direction.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, absolutely. Did you ever in your wildest dreams imagine that you'd be a doctor, get an honorary doctorate?
Not at all.
That's special. Do you make everyone call you doctor now?
There we're back at celebrating oneself, you know, I still am who I am. I'm still Paul, you know, and I will forever be that, you know, 4-year-old Paul.
Yeah.
You know? You know, so he's right by my side, and I bring him along hand in hand, you know, which is that is important for me because that is where my vulnerability is, and that is where my power is as well. And, you know, so
yeah,
and that's where, you know, that's where the joy is and the inquisitiveness, and you know, I think that it's important for me.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's so interesting because I was going to ask you, and this seems like a good segue. I was going to ask you, you know, if you could tell younger Paul, you know, something that you think you would want to hear that you know now, that you would have liked to have heard then, what would you be telling him?
Strap yourself in. You know, it's going to be, it will be a wild, joyful, emotional, full life. Mm-hmm. And, it'll all end just fine. You know, it'll all be a beautiful life, you know, mm-hmm. if you stay present. When you were talking about failure, you know, I think that fear is probably, you know, that place of fear that might have kept me from saying yes to experience might be somehow connected to failure, to that word failure. And so therefore, when I look at my younger self, it's like, you know, fearless and embrace more. Trust more in the energy of living.
Mm. Mm. I love that. In the things that you can't control, right?
Yeah.
Mm. What's your definition of living in the moment?
Being quiet and open, seeing, feeling, and loving the moment. You know, I think that if I can turn on all of those at the same time, then I think that it moves towards, you know, being in the moment.
Mm. How often do you experience it in your life?
I'm definitely not a master at it. I it's more important to me now than it was, you know, probably before I experienced the death of Michael. Not enough. I'm not, you know, I'm not in the moment enough, but I work to be in the moment.
Hmm. Why is it important to you?
I think that it connects me to what I really, where I really am, what I really value, what I really want to be, how I really want to be seen.
Hmm.
how to positively engage with life and all that life has to offer. That's why it's important.
Yeah. I mean, you're such a giver as an artist, right? I mean, you know, there's so many different ways of looking at it, right? Someone could look at you and you saying, you know, I did 10 shows, blah, 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 blah. And they could totally interpret that in their own way, you know, looking in the mirror at themselves, right? But, you know, the way I see it, especially the way it's expressed through you, is that, you know, you're giving, 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 giving. Yes, you're working, but you're giving of yourself. I mean, it happens to be your job, you know, so it sustains you. So it's the intersection of those two things on the one hand is absolutely a gift, right? I mean, isn't it the dream? But on the other hand, you know, I'm hearing, and I've heard it from many successful folks, that it's also their Achilles heel.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that you have really put your finger on it. I mean, that is where so much of my joy comes is in that engagement and in working with, you know, other very talented people and creating things together, and performers and directors, and, you know, and we're all in there in the sandbox, you know, literally and figuratively, making this thing happen, this moment happen. That's where I thrive. That's where I figured it out early on that was the most joyful way for me to create, and I've stuck with it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. In the speech, actually, when you, it really moved me. It was so clear when you spoke about your collaboration with Lin-Manuel Miranda on Hamilton that you were profoundly moved by, as what you said, being invited, right? Mm-hmm. To go on the ride. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And still, you know, to this day, you know, it was life-changing.
Yeah.
The process of creating of birthing that production of Hamilton, and then also, you know, since then, how it has, you know, it's the ripples of, you know, of water, you know, when the pebble hits, and, you know, how it's touched other people's lives and made a difference. And
how did it touch your life? I completely understand and agree with you that Hamilton is, you know, has transcended all of us and all its creators and all of that and become its own, mm-hmm. you know, beautiful force. But how did it touch you personally, the experience of working on it?
You know, it is the production that I can say it, you know, it defines how I design and my experience of design up to that point. You know, all of the other productions that I had been asked to do, and all of the periods that I have engaged with, you know, whether it's contemporary or, you know, 18th century, right? And all the periods in between, you know, those productions allowed for me to understand what was necessary in how we were going to interpret Hamilton, the costumes for Hamilton, you know. So all of that experience, it gave me the confidence to make choices in the way that I made choices for Hamilton, as well as, and this is, you know, just as important, the camaraderie, the trust that was created on In the Heights with that group of creators, with Lin-Manuel Miranda, with Thomas Kail, the director, with Andy Blankenbuehler, Hal Binkley, who was the lighting designer on In the Heights as well. You know, like all of us sitting at the table, you're talking about creative brothers and sisters coming together to investigate how best to tell this story, you know, and that's theater making at its best.
You know, it keeps coming up for me because you talked about, you know, getting in the sandbox as an analogy for which, you know, which totally, I get that. And you know, each show we do, no matter what, right? Those are the people. Those are the people in the art, and we're jumping in. And then I'm reminded in my research of you somewhere where you said that you talked about your childhood and how you were not included, how you were sort of
ostracized
So it's really interesting. What's the interplay there between like what you just described? Sounded like you met this gang, you know, the creative team, you know, when you did In the Heights and you were like, you know, with the cool kids, and then they're your posse basically, right? Yeah. So
what comes up for you when you're reminded of your painful childhood?
It was painful in that I was a very overweight child. I mean, I grew up and, you know, I was asthmatic. That was developmental and probably, you know, that's also, you know, you know, I was saying, you know, it's all the work that I did previous to Hamilton. And it's also the experience of growing up as false as well.
I'm really curious about the connection between you finally arriving with the kids in the popular kids in the playground versus right. where you came from.
It's a special, you know, kind of relationship when you are asked to join a group, you know, popular or not, because of what you do, you know, and that is, I hold that very near and dear, being entrusted with my department and how I will visually bring to life my element of the story. I cherish that, you know, that is very, very special, you know, especially with that group of creatives, you know, and that's that informed by how I feel about those people, you know, those creative people, and also by the work and the integrity of the work that comes out of that collaboration. You know, that's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, you had talked about, they're pioneers. You were with the pioneers. I mean, it was really, yeah. You know, and in many ways in art, we are pioneers and that we're creating something that wasn't there. We're finding something that new, but in that case, obviously, in so many ways, it was truly a new world that was created.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of a story of your mother who taught you how to sew.
And I had this image of the golden thread. So this thread that got woven until, and it makes sense when you refer to Hamilton as like the perfect, mm-hmm. you know, culmination of all of that. I can just see this beautiful golden thread, you know, as the metaphor that created, you know, that through obviously all your travails and all your experience that brought you to there. And it seems like that was a real singular moment where it was a finished part of you. And I
want to acknowledge as well, you know, the, you know, because you speak of my mother and, you know, that part of that brilliance is developing how I listen to, how I engage with other people is so much the way that Barbara Tazewell engages with other people, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that is why I get asked to do, you know, as well as, you know, I deliver on an idea, but my hope, you know, and this is, you know, also it ties to, you know, what you were asking about, you know, the commencement speech. And I hope that people understand, you know, the importance of yourself and how you present yourself and how you relate to other human beings.
Yeah.
That is, you can even say that that's 80% of how we get to an end result. You know, it's how you listen. It's how you see other people. You know, it informs how I dress people because I saw some other character that I can apply to this character. And, you know, in that, hopefully staying present in the moment as you are doing that so that you understand what the backstory is of all those decisions that you make and how it might resonate for other people. It's this huge web. Of how I hope to create. And then, you know, and that's the idea. And then it's about, okay, so how do we create this? How do we make this? So you're engaging with other creative people.
Yep.
And working with personalities and figuring out how to pull out the best of who this draper, tailor is, craftsperson in making this so that I can get the best result. And we can all be happy. And then the person that we're putting it on is happy and the
yep.
director, you know, and it feeds back to the audience.
Oh, 100%. And it's so interesting because everybody, I think it would be fair to say, I think it's true. Yeah. As I said, it's out loud. Everybody makes one decision every day, and that's what they're going to put on.
Yeah.
And absolutely. It's mixed, you know, with how you're feeling. You know, today I'm going to wear my sweats. Today I'm going to wear my jacket. You know, there's all these, the mind comes in and makes these decisions about how you're feeling. So that's right. Just everybody on every level. We can all relate to clothes. Some clothes, you know, as a dancer myself, you know, for some reason in certain pants, I can just turn better, not because the pants are just, I feel better, you know, my old ripped pants or whatever. So it's so interesting to me that you as a designer, you know, you've got so many elements that you're balancing because you've got obviously the palette and the bigger, larger story. But at the end of the day, you know, your designs and the buy-in of the person wearing your thing, if you don't give, if you're not a giver, if you're not an intuit, and, you know, as you said, if you're not listening, it'll just be an uncomfortable, you know, sweater that someone's wearing to a Christmas party. Do you know what I'm saying though? Like, I just think about these things. I think about like how important it is on so many levels, what you do.
You know, without feeling self-important, that, you know, I think that what I bring to the event is an important element, definitely an important element. You know, it is that first thought, like, you know, as you said, you know, all of us choose to put on some garment or some, you know, layers of garment, of garments that will help them get through the day, you know, help them do whatever task it is that they need to do that day. Mm-hmm. Or it will be a reflection of where they are emotionally. Or both,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think, you know, that's the medium that I use to silently tell those parts of the story.
Yep.
And that's a powerful thing. You know, that's a powerful position to be in because, you know, the director, you know, is an editor and also is telling, you know, that person where to move in space, and the choreographer is doing the same thing. But, you know, as a costume designer, I'm directly connected to the performer, actor, dancer, and, you know, reflective of, like you were saying, you know, it's the energy of turning and what that is for you and what all of your history is around turning, it becomes somehow informed by the clothing that you're wearing, you know, and more. But, you know, a huge element of that is, you know, the confidence or the sexiness or the, you know, whatever, you know, that might be,
yeah.
You know, it's because of the decision that I make. You know?
Yeah. And it sounds to me, I've never worked with you, but it sounds to me like you're not the one that's my way or the highway, because that won't express, you know, that's not good for the greater good. I can't imagine you getting with an actor and saying, this is what you're wearing. This is right for the thing. Right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you are, maybe you are a diva. I don't know.
No. That doesn't work for me. I mean, it just, you know, I've never, you know, and it's also, you know, it is a difficult place for my personality to go there, but, you know, I have learned to stay flexible. And within that, you know, within the flexibility to be specific, you know, and, you know, to have good arguments for why I believe it should be something, you know, whatever I've chosen. And also be confident about the fact that I've got many ideas. I have many, many ideas for this one problem. And if we can agree on one of the solutions or two of the solutions, then we're ahead of the game. You know, yeah. we can start to work. We can start to play.
Yeah, absolutely. In my work, I you know, that's the win-win perspective, right? When you're at that frequency, it's like everything is a gift and an opportunity. So when something doesn't work, you go, cool, that's okay. That game doesn't work. Let's play another game. Let's go. Yeah. No, that's brilliant. I love that. What would you do if you could, if for whatever reason you couldn't do what you do? Like what would you do?
You know, I would pursue being a performer, probably. But you know, I don't know what that would have become. You know, I don't know if I would be acting right now, if I had chosen a different path. You know, I studied for a year in fashion design, and I found that I didn't particularly like the community of fashion design. You know, it was just, you know, where I was at that time when I was 18. But I might have grown to really embrace it, you know, and find my place in that.
Yeah.
In one way or another. You know, I've always been interested in painting, you know, and being that, you know, a solo artist. Mm. And expressing in that way. And that's something that I feel like I can always lean into as a way of expressing.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you know, space, you know, designing space and designing interiors of space. And, you know, that's been another way.
Yeah, that's very cool. What do you know will be true about you no matter what happens?
No matter what happens, I will love and I will be okay.
Mm. You and young Paul. That's beautiful. I love that. I have such a beautiful image of the two of you. Like everything will be all right. And guess what? You're going to be by my side. So
yeah,
that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. How do you want to be remembered?
I hope that I'll be remembered as someone who was generous with my time and with my creativity. With what I, you know, was put here to do, that I was, you know, embracing of many, many people, as many people as I could hold, could manage, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, I hope that I'm remembered for living in a large way, on a large scale.
Mm. Can you finish this phrase? Mm-hmm. Most people think Paul Tazewell is, but the truth is.
Most people think Paul Tazewell is reserved and pensive. And Paul Tazewell is really giggly and joyous.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Why do you think people don't see that?
I don't let them see that.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
It is soon into meeting me or, you know, becoming a friend. That's when you see it. That's when I feel safe.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. 100%. So just as we're wrapping up here, I do a little thing where I call it what makes you. So I say what makes you, and then I say a word and you say what comes to mind.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So what makes you hungry?
Is this about food or is it about work?
Whatever you want it to be.
Seeing somebody else's achievements. So imagining the possibility.
Mm.
And also seeing beautiful food.
Yeah. What makes you sad?
Losing people I love.
Yeah. What inspires you?
So many things. everything. Everything beautiful. A new project.
What frustrates you?
No.
Mm. No.
Yeah.
Love that.
Boundary.
Hmm. Yeah. Why does that frustrate you?
A boundary that is non-negotiable. That's
what it is. Got it. Boundaries without understanding.
Yeah.
Totally. So you'd be okay with the boundary, but not just the no.
Yeah. Boundaries are, you know, they're very healthy, you know, definitely. That's a different kind of
thing. Yeah. No, understood. That makes perfect sense. What makes you laugh?
So many things. Children, dogs, and puppies, and being with family, people I love.
Yeah. What makes you angry?
Injustice.
Mm.
Yeah, things that are not fair.
Mm-hmm. What are you grateful for?
I'm so grateful for life. I'm grateful for my talent and abilities. I'm grateful for the people in my life, experience,
Yeah. Yeah. And what would you say are the top three things that have happened so far today?
I've had an opportunity to express a part of myself that I don't usually get, and I really appreciate that. I had the opportunity to meet you, and I really appreciate that. Grateful for that. I'm just grateful for being able to take time. Be present with myself, and take that time.
I love that. And what are you most looking forward to, either today or in the bigger picture, whichever one resonates with you more?
Continuing on the journey.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Paul, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today, really.
Me as well.
I really, really appreciate you taking the time to be with me today. I've been speaking with Paul Tazwell. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and healthy, everyone. And remember to live in the moment.
In music, stop time is that beautiful moment where the band is suspended in rhythmic unison, supporting the soloist to express their individuality. In the moment, I encourage you to take that time and create your own rhythm. Until next time, I'm Lisa Hopkins. Thanks for listening.